Wayne, the study, 10,000 Commandments, an annual snapshot of the federal regulatory state. This is a study that you and your counterparts at the Competitive Enterprise Institute have been putting together for a number of years. So let's start out by reminding our listeners what the study is and tell us a little bit about your methodology.
Put it this way, there is the ordinary tax that everybody sees, the federal budget that everybody sees, which is now, unfortunately, $33 trillion in debt, spending around $6 trillion a year. That's the above board tax. There's also what some refer to as the hidden tax of regulation. This is economic regulation, environmental regulation, health and safety, social, and of course, all the paperwork costs that go along with that. So the government gets things done by spending, but also by regulating. It's been 30 years since I did the first edition. And the way I like to think of it is in the same way you can look up the federal government's spending habits and its debt and its outlays, its revenues. There's nothing like that that exists for the hidden tax of regulation. So I started pulling together figures on pages in the Federal Register, which is the daily compendium of rules and regulations, numbers of rules at the proposed stage, rules at the final stage, and just sort of tracking those kinds of data to get an idea of the scope of federal intervention in society. And so I've been doing this a long time. There are various estimates of the cost. I use a placeholder of around $2 trillion annually for cost, which is almost more than the corporate income tax and the individual income tax combined. So regulation is huge. Other folks have estimates that are considerably more than mine. The federal government ought to measure itself officially and tell us this kind of thing, but it really doesn't. So that's one of the reasons I do this report. It might interest listeners to know that just this year, only about a month ago now, the federal government, the White House, finally put out a new report to Congress on costs and benefits of regulations. Now, it only rounds up a few billion of those costs, or a lot more, I think, than what the federal government tells you. However, this is one of the problems with disclosure. This report was 3 years overdue. The last time we'd seen one was for fiscal year 2019, so we got a little bit of a catch-up volume here. So the way you can think of it is, as untethered as federal spending is, it's regulation that's the least disciplined part of the federal regulatory of the federal enterprise. And so I like to compile this report, 10,000 Commandments, to sort of grapple with it. And I think it's becoming even more important now, as in the wake of the COVID pandemic, which was the third big economic shock of the 21st century, not the first. And each time the response has been a lot of government spending and a lot of new regulation. And there's a lot of new regulation, I fear, to come from new mega laws like the CARES Act, the American Rescue Plan, the Infrastructure Law, the CHIPS and Science Act, the Inflation Act. Those are huge, gargantuan, multi-hundred billion dollar pieces of legislation. And I think we're going to start to see some of the regulatory chickens come home to roost. They haven't all hatched yet in the new edition of 10,000 Commandments, but I think you're starting to see upticks in rules affecting small business, state and local government, things like that. So that's sort of where we are at the moment.
Former President Donald Trump, Wayne, had made a big issue out of reducing federal regulations. And in fact, during his presidency, he made some progress in that regard. I would assume the Biden administration has slammed that into reverse.
Yes. With Trump, we had something of a reversal in kind of the headlong rush of the administrative state and all of its rules. With Trump, now he did plenty of regulation of his own. You know, he had ethanol programs, he had trade policies that are still criticized heavily, and even in the free market circles, he had the artificial intelligence directive that preceded Biden's. Different things like that that were regulatory for Trump, but he was most noted for the one-in, two-out campaign. In other words, if an agency wanted to issue a significant rule, it needed to eliminate at least two others. The gist of that was, that was the framing of it, but the gist of it was a regulatory cost freeze. The goal of that whole program was zero net new cost in regulations. And by some measures, that certainly did succeed in the first couple of years. And then, of course, it would get, as you pick the low-hanging fruit, it would get harder to offset rules. But for a time under Trump, I would say there are thousands of rules that come out every year. Usually there are at least 3,000. But under Trump, for the first time and only time, the number of rules dropped a little bit below 3,000. Still a lot of rules, but it dropped below 3,000. But as you can see, that kind of thing just being done by a president is hard to sustain. In other words, Trump could do that for 4 years, but then once Biden came in, he issued first a memoranda, then recently, this year, in fact, he issued a memoranda and an executive order 2 years apart, both entitled Modernizing Regulatory Review. And as a part of the initial Modernizing Review Directive, he eliminated the Trump executive orders with respect to streamlining regulation and with respect to doing one in, two out. That went away, and in fact, in the Biden administration, rather than OMB, which is supposed to be the regulatory watchdog, and also the organization that I mentioned put out the 3 years late cost-benefit report, OMB is supposed to oversee and be a watchdog. Instead, in the Biden administration, since he has a number of pursuits like climate crisis, equity, competition policy, digital currency investigations and things like that, Biden has enlisted OMB less as an overseer, but more as a body that's helping agencies in their pursuit of net benefits as progressives see them, however, not necessarily as everyone would see them. You know, kind of a government steering while the market just rose is a phrase that our founder, Fred Smith, would use a lot. So the tenor and the culture of regulatory oversight is very different under Biden. And that's why I expect to see, you know, we're coming up on an election year, and there's certain reasons why they have to slow down the rulemaking as the election approaches. You know, they're political ones, but there are also rules with respect to a new Congress being able to overturn recent rules from a former administration. So you might see a big push of new rules from Biden in the short term, then might slow down a little next year. If that mindset of being in favor of regulation and thinking that the federal government should do all the things that it's doing now, like yesterday, there was a huge announcement on interventions in supply chains that Biden made from the White House. So with that kind of mindset, there's a very pro-regulatory stance from the administration that we'll have to monitor and see if there's anything we can do that can be done about it. The solution would be probably, as I mentioned, the small businesses and state and local governments are starting to see an uptick, at least according to what I'm able to uncover. And those are the forces that caused the mobilization to do regulatory reform in the past. And that might be what it takes again.
Tell us a bit about some of the responses, some of the actions that can be taken to start dialing back this regulatory state.
You got to start with the low-hanging fruit, I guess, when you're in this kind of environment where that's so contentious. This is contentious compared to anything I've seen since I've been doing public policy. However, there is bipartisan interest in notions like a so-called regulatory budget, cost budget. In fact, the idea even came from the Carter administration. So there's some little bit of interest there. Also, it's not just the laws we get from Congress and then the thousands of regulations, but there are also lots and lots of guidance documents and circulars and memoranda and notices and all these sub-regulatory decrees that also have regulatory effect. Well, there's bipartisan interest in dealing with those. A bill to address and disclose those guidance documents was reported out of a House committee 41-0. It was unanimous support among Republicans and Democrats. So addressing disclosure, like with guidance documents, a regulatory budget, regulatory reduction commissions are another bipartisan idea. I do this 10,000 commandments report kind of as a report card. The federal government should do that itself. I shouldn't need to write this report. So that would be another one I could say that would kind of be a feather in my cap, too. A little bit better disclosure, a lot more accountability.
We have been talking with Wayne Cruz, who is the Fred L. Smith Fellow in Regulatory Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Wayne, tell us a bit about the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Also, where can folks go on the web if they would like to read 10,000 Commandments?
Well, yes, thank you for asking. We are at CEI.org, and CEI is a market-oriented, small-L libertarian, you might say, think tank, founded in George Orwell's year 1984. coming up soon on the 40th anniversary. But our emphasis, you know, you've got think tank, free market think tanks at the state levels. You've got them at the national level working on a range of issues. We tend to focus on the regulatory state as opposed to the tax and budget issues that occupy some of our colleagues. So if you're missing regulation, you're kind of missing the biggest part of what government's doing in the economy. And CEI sort of is focused on that, focused on the regulatory side, the hidden regulatory tax.
Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, thank you for being back with us. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for thinking of us.